نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم وما قال الله تعالى في قرآنه المجيد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على سيدنا ومولانا محمد المهد الجود والكرم اللهم صل على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلي الفضل والبر اللهم صل على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلي وصحبه وبارك وسلم أما بعد.
Rectification. On the basis of rectification, Islah, I am saying, I'm not criticizing, I'm not looking down, but I'm presenting an example of for rectification, improvement. In the life of a person, there are ups and downs. Sometimes he's rich, sometimes he's poor. If he's poor, then he has no issues, no worries, because there's no money. If it comes, he eats whatever he gets, he will use, end of story. When the money starts coming slowly, 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 then his fikr and worries start to increase. And he should be happy that money is coming, but his fikr increases, his concerns, more increase of concern and worry. What? That may somebody not steal my money, may somebody not loot my wealth, and rather he thinks further that if I die, then what will happen about my money? I should protect my money and look after it. And the more the money increases, then that person's mind gets overwhelmed. Even if he got triple millionaire, even if he gets various millions, he will be concerned about money. The more he'll be rich and wealthy, he'll be concerned and worried on this basis that my money, I need to protect it, I need to preserve it. In the bank, here, there, in safes, in treasure chests, he'll try his best. That thief, may a thief not come. Every person he'll see is a thief. Even when a guest comes home, he'll think that this person might be a thief or he'll loot my money. And the reason for this is that because in our minds, we have a lot of value for maal and wealth and money. Lots of value for that. If something's valuable, obviously somebody, if he looks after it, and he's concerned about it, isn't it? But Allah Ta'ala said, Allah's Nabi Zazam's words, and Allah's words, we don't pay attention to those. Allah Ta'ala said that this dunya, this world, that even the wing of a mosquito, if it was equivalent to the wing of a mosquito, even then I wouldn't give it to the people who are against me. I gave it to those who are against me so that they can enjoy. So there's no value. There's no value, no price tag, you could say. So the thing that is most valuable, which is permanent, and the thing here, the dunya has no value. Allah Ta'ala says that we are comparing that to that which is most valuable, which is iman. Even the person who is the most poorest of all, if he's got iman, then he is the wealthiest in the hereafter. So wealthy is he that we cannot imagine how wealthy he is. So what things Allah Ta'ala has given to that person in reply to his iman. But it's yaqeen that we need to have. We need to have certainty. We say, oh, leave iman, you keep talking about iman. Talk to us about big houses. Talk to us about money. Talk to us about wealth. Talk to us about businesses and shops. And that's what we're concerned about. Look, this is our mind, how much it has changed. It has changed. And this is called the fikr of the akhirah, which we should have. Just a way of thinking, a mindset. Just some thoughts that an insan should have. And he needs to just change his way of thinking, ongoing. Just to change our mindset, ideology and way of thinking, the person then understands his reality, what he's here for. Then he remains very happy in the world. The person who understands that deen is a great asset, iman is a great asset. So then when he considers iman and deen as a great asset, will he protect his money in the world or his iman? Tell me. The amal of the person, the deeds. In the hereafter, every success will come through amal, deeds. Just like in the world, all issues are resolved through money. You want to get bread, take money out of the pocket, then give us the bread. Allah Ta'ala said the amal, your deeds, is the wealth, the currency of the hereafter. That as the more beautiful your deeds are, the more valuable are your notes and higher in currency your notes of deeds, then the more in Jannah they will be of use. In this dunya, we have come for this purpose to this world. We've come to earn in this world. Say subhanallah. We are laborers here in the world. We have come to work hard and toil. And the more we want to, we can make here in this world for the hereafter. And Allah Ta'ala has given us this life. There's no time in this life, even if we're sleeping. Even then, whilst you're sleeping, you can earn for the hereafter. That's the earning. It's not just whilst you're awake. Even when you're sleeping, you can earn. Everything of a human being becomes valuable with his amal, with his deeds. So Allah Ta'ala, if He gives tawfiq to somebody, the ability to practice deeds, to accrue deeds, then it's a great treasure Allah has given to that person. He's made him very wealthy. Allah has made him very wealthy. But we come back to that same point. That even if we get the tawfiq to do amal, we say, okay, it's okay, I've done it, I've prayed salah, I've done hajj, I've done this and that. Brothers, this is such an extremely valuable thing. This is the highest in terms of priority. Allah, if we've attained this, if Allah has given this to us, bestowed to us amal, if today Allah has given us the tawfiq to pray salah, we prayed salah of Isha, great gift of Allah. Ask that person who doesn't pray. And the person who has prayed, then both of their eyes closed, then you'll realize in the grave the difference, the big difference. So if it's such a valuable thing that Allah Ta'ala has given to us, then we should protect it as well, isn't it? And how do we protect it, preserve it? For example, say, oh look, he stood behind you, the thief. Or is it, for example, he won't come into your shop and just, what sort of bandit is he? Will he come into a shop? Isn't the biggest bandit or thief is the thief of iman, aduwwun mubin, shaitan. His first attempt is that he wants to take our iman. And if with the fadl of Allah, a person has iman and he has protected, then he should try that. Don't let him take it. Preserve it. And shaitan, he tries to steal that. He doesn't let that person come towards amal. So when a person gets iman, he doesn't let him come towards amal. Oh, I'll pray sometime. Where's it written? Do this. These are the ways of shaitan. Shaitan enables a person to do this. Oh, no, no, it's not necessary to keep the beard. Look, you know, you don't need to keep it. Yes? And we don't even know how long the beard should be. I'm just giving you examples of parts of the deen. Oh, prayed salah, beard is not necessary. Now tell me, what a big deception shaitan's given. Salah, Allah Ta'ala has taught us and told us to pray salah. It's his hukum. Rasulullah told us about salah, it's his hukum. As I said, these are words of Islam improvement. I'm not criticizing you, Allah, my friends and my brothers. Today, if you don't learn them, when will you learn? Yeah, you've come here to learn, isn't it? Isn't it? Yes, we've come to learn. So may Allah Ta'ala allow that we all go into paradise. Yes, that's our dua. Yes, we all sat in one boat. And we are all passengers in the boat. And for example, when you are a passenger in the boat, will you say, no, 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 I want to eat fish and don't give to him? No, you say, give him as well. We're all in the same boat. You all love each other. All the passengers, they get to know each other. They love each other. So we're all sat in the same boat. And these are words of love that we're discussing. So who stops us? Who prevents us? Is it police outside who's stopping us? Or how dare you keep the beard, otherwise we'll shoot you. Or we'll lock you up. No, there's one force. And who's that? Shaitan. Oh, don't keep the beard. You won't get married if you have the beard. Oh, mother will say as well. Father will go against. Oh, ancestor. Oh, you've become a Maulana. What's happened to you? Are you mad? Are you gone crazy? Or young man? And then they go, oh, then he cuts the beard. Says, oh, let me follow the fashion. And he's not here or not there. He's not on this side. He's not on that side. So what sort of life is this, brothers? Whose slaves are we? Who do we follow? And we've been, a chain has been put around our necks. Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He is our life, our heart, every single atom and every single part of our body. We have the love for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Then what a big munafiqah, then hypocrisy, that we love him and we don't accept his instruction. We don't make him happy, and why are we making him displeased? What's the reason? Shaitan. that we've been given iman, but he doesn't allow us to do amal, practice deeds. Oh, I'll pray Zuhr. Why do I have to pray Fajr? Oh, it's too hard. Ooh, if it's hard, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, did Allah want to put the Muslims into danger? Say subhanAllah. Yes, Allah ta'ala would put others into danger or into difficulty. Why would he put the Muslims into difficulty? So when Allah ta'ala loves the people of iman, the people of belief, then will Allah not give them beautiful and beloved things or not? Tell me. So Allah will give the things that he likes extremely the most. So, for example, the mother, and she has 3 or 4 children, the child that she likes, then she will say quietly, "Here, take this and you eat this." Yes, the mother. Yes, although they are all her children, but if she loves that child a bit more, or she likes a bit more, then quietly or secretly she'll give him some food. Yes, this is for you. I kept this aside for you. Don't tell the others. Yes, don't tell the others. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, all the makhluk in creation Allah ta'ala made, but the people of iman are most beloved to Allah. So if they're beloved to Allah, Allah say, keep the beard, pray salah, or recite the Quran. So is this sternness and strictness, or is this love of Allah? We think it's strict and it's too hard because we don't know what a great reward Allah ta'ala is giving to us. What a great favor Allah ta'ala is doing on us, that Allah says, do this for this reason, because you are the ummah of my mahbub sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And I feel that just like he wore imama, I want you to wear imama. Wah. Does anyone say to you that, oh, imitate my beloved? Does anyone say, nobody feels like saying that. That, for example, if it's his house, oh, how dare you, don't make a house like that. This is the house of the king. You can't make a house like him, people say in the world. They say that, don't we? Oh, he's Chaudhry Sahib, this is his house. Don't copy or imitate his house, or otherwise we will do this and that to you. We'll hit you. Don't buy a car like this. Oh, the Chaudhry, he'll be upset if you imitate him. But what does Allah say? This whole universe, the cause of creation, is based on my Mahbub sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Say subhanAllah. So how beloved of Allah is Rasulullah. Allah Ta'ala, Allah says that La'amrakum, Allah says that I swear by his age, I swear by his city. Then imagine how beloved he will be to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How much Allah Ta'ala will have love for him. So what a great favor. Allah says, fine, you can imitate him. So will we imitate him or not? Tell me. Will we wear the imama? Will we keep the correct length of beard? Will we pray Fajr Salah? Inshallah. So these are the points. And this is the strong friendship. And see how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, he comes out into the open field. Man habba sunnati fa man habbani. That whoever loves my sunnah, who loves my imama, loves my beard, loves my miswak, loves my surma, loves the clothes that I wear, then I, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, promise that I will take him with me into paradise. Ma kana fi. No. We want to imitate the others. Those who stand and urinate and stand and urinate. We run to run after them. Look how, who twists our minds? Who? Adu mubin shaitan. He says that Allah has given us the fadl, graced us with a man, but he stops us after. He says, I don't want to stop. That we say we want to do amal, and he says, no, you don't do amal. We say, no, we're going to do amal. Do you understand what I'm saying? So now the person who practices deeds, then shaitan comes again. Okay, you do amal. La tabtulu amwalukum. But your deeds, I'm going to make them go to waste, says shaitan. This is the verse of the Quran. That do not waste your deeds. In this means that deeds can also be wasted. Just like money can be wasted. Deeds can be wasted. So Allah Ta'ala says, your iman, first he tries to stop that, then he tries to stop you doing deeds. But your deeds can also be wasted. So Allah says, protect your deeds. Preserve your deeds. Don't let them go down the drain. Otherwise, many people in this world, they pray salah, this and that, X, Y, Z, amal, and they'll have do mujahidat and hard work, and they'll do practice of the deen, but they will be thrown back to them because he was practicing ongoing, but the shaitan was stealing them and making his deeds go to waste. Do you understand what I'm saying or no? There was a friend of Allah, and his vessel of water, he put it down and he did wudu. And after a while he saw that the water, he put it under the tap, there was no water in the vessel. Then he put it underneath the tap and he tried to fill it up, but it wasn't filling up. When he picked up the vessel, he saw there's a hole. The water's going inside, but there's a hole underneath and the water's escaping. So me and you, what do we do? We say, oh, what shall we do? And then he started to cry, the friend of Allah. And he took the example. Why are you crying? He said, oh, this is a big learning. I'm practicing deeds. This is not the case that this same way my deeds are are pouring out or leaking out and going to waste. Look at the fikr, the concern. It's not that I'm praying salah, is it? And my salah is going to waste. Isha salah, I prayed and it goes to waste. Or I recite Quran and it goes to waste. It's leaking. Allah Ta'ala has made me a qari, and maybe my qiraat is going to waste. Allah Ta'ala has made me Sufi sub, maybe my dhikr is going to waste. Nobody thinks like this. Rather, what do we say? Oh, I'm pious and I prayed salah. Oh, tahajjud, I pray tahajjud as well, and I pray ishraq as well. That, have you got it still? Is it in your book of deeds? And he says, I've got it. Has it ever happened that you have come from your home and you're going to London for a few days, and then you leave the door open in your house when you left it, and when you come back, then hisab, everything you can see, what's happened after that? So will you be able to say to anyone that they'll throw shoes on you and mock you? They'll say that, did you not have akal that you left your doors open, your house, and you went for a few days? Then obviously if the doors open, then the thief will come. And they'll say, let's go in. The thief will say, let's take his laptop, let's take his phone and everything, all the technology, all the things that are there. They'll take it because he left the doors open. So how can he say, that person who's the owner of the house, that I protected my house or preserved it? So we, how can we say that our salah is with us? That our hajj is with us? Our recitation of the Quran is with us? That we're happy and we guarantee that it's with us? Oh, servant of Allah, how can it be with you? La tabdulu, Allah says in the Quran, that has he looted and is he steal from behind? Is the money coming out to the bottom of the vessel? Say subhanallah. Do you understand what I'm saying, or you don't understand what I'm saying? Do you understand? Yes. So amal, deeds, to practice them is not a good achievement. To protect the deeds is the big achievement. To protect the deeds. Amal, Allah Ta'ala has enabled you to do, but you have to protect them. So it's our responsibility. You prayed salah, protect your salah. Preserve it. You recited, Allah has enabled you to recite. Then understand its value and preserve it. Allah Ta'ala has given you tasbih of Durood Sharif, given tawfiq to recite it, then preserve it, protect it. The women folk, Allah has given tawfiq to wear the burqa, adopt hijab, then value it and say, Allah has given, I'm not just, you wear parda, and then you are wasting the thawab of that parda. So amal, deeds, Allah gives you the tawfiq, enables you, then don't reject it afterwards. Yes, don't make a U-turn on it of practicing it. Have you got those deeds still? Are they with you? That I'm pious and I've got £300. For example, I'm rich, I've got £300 at home. But I left the doors open, oh madman, there'll be no money left when you go back. Yeah, well, you say, what are you saying? Okay, and this is what's happening to us. I've got so much salah. Allah's given you a tawfiq to practice. Then on the other hand, use your akal, your wisdom, intellect, protect and preserve your deeds. You don't understand what I'm saying? Yes, may not be that your deeds go to waste. You've just prayed Isha, oh, nur has come. The nur won't come if you don't do anything else. You won't even realize that they'll go to waste. Why? Because it'll tell you itself, the salah. Whoever salah is with him, subhanallah, all day he's enjoying the day, that person. Sukoon and peace, salah is such an asset. Salah is such an asset that I say, human being, that in the world, this salah is incomparable. All ibadat in the world that we got in this world, all ibadat worship, how? We attain on the arsh. But where did salah get given to us? On the arsh. Subhanallah. On the first. So all other deeds that we have practicing in the world, we were given them on the earth. But salah was on the arsh. Like zakah, fasting, hajj, revealed and taught to us in the world. But salah, Allah called his mahbub, and he went to the heavens, then Allah gave salah. And there's a story behind that as well. By part Allah Ta'ala gave salah. Yeah, if I go towards this subject, then the discussion will go on that subject, and it will get extended, that Allah Ta'ala's hikmah and wisdom with his mahbub. And three things came here. Allah, Allah's Rasul, and his ummah came into that example. And that the prophets of the time, Musa alayhi salam, they said, what's going on here? That he's going to all the inhabitants of the heavens, they were seeing there that what's going on, but it was a great example, that event. Say subhanallah. So I won't start on that, and some other day we'll discuss that. Otherwise, you'll enjoy the discussion, and I'll leave out the topic of it. Because when we start talking about ishq, then the other words and the discussion remains behind. So what was I saying to you? Was that amal, Allah Ta'ala has enabled us to practice deeds, but we have to preserve them, protect them. And do we still have them? Are they still on our list of deeds? So how do we protect the deeds? Okay, so here, that wasting, we have understood now that shaitan, he influences us to waste the deeds. But how does a believer waste his deeds? What is the tool or the weapon that Shaitan uses to waste our deeds? Now what we look here at this point here. Most of all, our amal, our deeds, how do our deeds get wasted? The way that Shaitan wastes our deeds. Most of all, and he makes us waste them. He gives us targhib, he motivates us, encourages us, do this action. When we do the action, we waste our deeds. And he makes us do the action. So most of all, the action or the tool that he utilizes, listen carefully what I'm saying, Shaitan. Most of all, his technique, and Rasulullah told us this as well, listen carefully, the technique that Shaitan uses most of all to waste our deeds, and what is that? Our tongue. Say subhanallah. Misuse of the tongue. Tongue. So great an asset is the tongue of a believer that Rasulullah said that if you guarantee to me your tongue, then I'll guarantee to you paradise. Subhanallah. What a great learning. Great learning. So he didn't speak about any amal. He spoke about preserving and protecting our deeds. Because without protecting, preserving deeds, doesn't matter how many deeds you practice, you'll waste them. So we're talking about preserving and protecting. That if you protect your tongue, safeguard it. Because the biggest hole in your vessel that will make the water leak, in other words, your deeds leak, is your tongue. Allah's Nabi Sam grabbed hold of his blessed tongue and told us, he took his blessed tongue by his hands and said, this is the most dangerous thing of a believer and this will waste all of your deeds. Why? Backbiting comes from here, lying comes from here, gossip mongering, swearing, slander comes from the tongue, wasteful talk comes from the tongue. You understand this? You name it. Whatever you do, tongue is the root cause. A tongue. Yes, our teeth, 32 of them, behind that is the tongue, so that it doesn't come out. The teeth are the defense for the tongue. That's how much is the value of the tongue. Allah took hold of his tongue and said, control it. Control it. So this is the worst misuse of the tongue. And sins come from here. Wastage comes from here. Immediately we waste our deeds. You prayed salah, you leave the masjid. And within seconds, waste the deed. You don't even know your amal are going down the drain. Allah's Nabi was present in the masjid. And in this hadith is narrated in Muwatta Imam Malik. And I'm sharing this with you. And so, an individual came. And two individuals came. And they were fasting. And Allah's Nabi is sitting in the masjid and the sahaba there. Imagine the salah of those people. Tell me, their salah, the value. Can any normal man pray this salah just like those two people? They were fasting in the masjid of the Nabi and they're doing ziyarah of Rasulullah, that blessed environment, and they're praying salah, observing salah. Imagine the value and the height of their salah. Tell me. Can anyone compare to their salah? All walis of Allah ever in history put to one side the salah cannot compare to that salah of those sahaba. Say subhanallah. Allah's Nabi is looking. Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu is narrating this hadith. In Bayhaqi is this hadith as well. Have you prayed salah? Come here. Say subhanallah. And this is how the sheikh, he does the salah of his murids, of the students. That's why I stated, if you want to be a real human being, then take the hand of a wali Allah. And you can never correct yourself or improve yourself until you don't take the hand of a wali Allah, a sheikh. Because you're not taking, we don't want to take the hands of the wali Allah, their guidance. We, those who extract the jinns, the exorcists, and the ghostbusters, we think they're the walis of Allah. They show karamat and kashf, and they do magic, and they make the wife run away, and they say, oh, he's a wali Allah. Oh, and when he does dua, and a child comes to us in our family, we ask dua for a son, and the son comes, and when we ask for dua, immediately it occurs, and he does dua, and such an action he does, that all our requirements are fulfilled. He's a wali Allah. He is not the wali Allah. As Aisha Sadiqah then was asked, she asked the Holy Prophet, how can we realize, how will you know who's a person who's close to Allah, friend of Allah? Very easy. The Nabi said that when you see him and you remember Allah, he's a wali Allah, friend of Allah. Say subhanallah. Yes, there must be a person who you see him and you'll remember Allah. Yes. Yes. Yes, no horns on his head, nothing extra special, because he is his pastime, his lifetime, his standing and sitting and lying down, his walking, his mahal, his environment is Allah. Allah's deen. So what else will you remember when you see a Wali Allah? Yes, will you remember anything else? No, you'll just remember Allah. That's the sign of Wali Allah. From your mouth you'll say Subhanallah. You say, no, he's not a Wali Allah though. No, I want to look for something else. Yes, Hazrat Dada Ganjbagh Chajweri Sahib Rahmatullah, great Wali Allah, whose grave is in Lahore. Great Wali Allah, such a great Wali Allah. Hazrat Muhyinuddin Chusti Rahmatullah used to come and stay in his company, Chilla, and he would attain completion. That's the Buzurgi was, the Wali Allah, the Wali Allah of his time. MashaAllah, Vakashmul Majum, great kitab of his. And an individual came to him, Hazrat Dada Ganjbagh Rahmatullah, an individual came to him, and he stayed with him for quite some time. And he was departing. He said, where are you going? You've just come and you stayed for a while. For which purpose did you come and you're departing? He said, Hazrat, I'm out looking for Wali Allah. I couldn't find him. He said, oh, okay. He said, you couldn't find a Wali Allah. He said, no, I stayed with you as well. And this is our hal today. And we do the same. Yes, I've not achieved what I want. I want to break my bayah. He didn't allow me to achieve my requirements. Let me look for another sheikh. I don't feel like staying with him. Imagine this. People say this. Once, if Allah sends you somewhere to a sheikh, his company, and after that you do a U-turn and detach yourself from a sheikh, then for the rest of your life you cannot attain the path. Why? Because you are following your nafs. Allah Ta'ala selects and gives you that company of his friend. Me and you, in our hearts, that we don't have that determination and understanding. We can differentiate. This is not something changeable, interchangeable. Go there and press the rewind button. Go to this shop, that shop, that shop. No, the question does arise. Allah's given you a big favor. He's guided you. His karam, that he showed you a path. And to give you the guide, he sent you to the deputy of Rasulullah SAW, a wali Allah in the world. Imagine his barakat, his blessings, the rahmas, the mercies in his company, the guidance. Imagine the sohbat, his company, what you will attain in the company of that Wali Allah. We say, no, I don't feel like him. My heart is free. I'm not enjoying myself because I need my desires to be fulfilled. And that person's destroyed when he does that. Yes? So stay with that person. Stick to him through the ups and the downs. In no way or form should you leave this man. Waswasa come, whispering of shaitan, bad influence, negative. Say, no, he's my sheikh and I'll stay behind him. That's it. Yes, but we, due to waswasa, bad thoughts, negative thoughts, we leave that company. Doesn't matter. Allah Ta'ala says that even in he will give you the dunya and the akhirah, the guidance that Allah Ta'ala has shown you. You came for the dunya, but Allah Ta'ala will give you dunya as well if you stick to that. Because Allah Ta'ala loves so much his beloved walis, his beloved friends, that through their company you'll attain eternal success. Such a great announcement. Allah says, beware you. Be ready for the battle. The person who challenges and opposes and does bidah in disrespect to my wali, my friend, Allah says. It's such a big statement. So then, that individual who came, those people came to the Prophet. Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And he said, have you prayed Salah? They said, yes, we prayed Salah. He said, do wudu and pray Salah again. Say Subhanallah. Allah Azza wa Jalla. And said this. They were afraid. They said, Salah's not being accepted. Imagine their sujood, their prostration, Salah's not being accepted. And they're fasting, people. And your fasting completed. And the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, complete the fast. After that, you have to do the qada. You have to compensate for the fast. It's not being completed. They said, ooh. Serious situation. They said, Ya Rasulullah Sallam, O Prophet of Allah, we don't know what have we said or done that all of this has happened with us. Look here now, coming towards the error. The how the tongue makes a person commit a sin or a mistake. They said, we don't know our salah's gone and our fast is gone. What a great example for us. This is present in the hadith. Yeah, we say, oh salah, my salah, I am very... Coming back to the example about that salah which was observed in the company of the Prophet ﷺ, Rasulullah ﷺ said, your salah is not coming in. Me and you are salah. We don't even know. They said, we said, I prayed there. I went to Bayt al-Maqdis and prayed salah. Or I stood in front of the Kaaba, Baytullah, and prayed salah. How can my salah go to waste? We challenge and argue to agree. But they were the sahaba in front of the Prophet ﷺ. Their salah went to waste. The Prophet ﷺ said, it's gone. Because their eyes saw everything. Where's that person's salah gone? Say Subhanallah. So Rasulullah guided them that your fast, you have to compensate for it, qaza, and pray your salah again, do wudu as well. They said, what did we do, your Prophet of Allah? We didn't do zina, we didn't look at a girl, we didn't kill somebody, we didn't steal. We just came here from home, both of us together. And Rasulullah said, oh servants of Allah, do you know what you've done? That you've done a big error. You've done that error, Hazrat Anas radiallahu anhu's hadith, I will put together with this, according to my understanding and our passion, that you've done that action for which there's no tawbah. Imagine this, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that you've done that sin. Every sin can be forgiven due to tawbah. You do zina, do tawbah, Allah Ta'ala will forgive. Remember this, zina, what a big sin. Zina, adultery. If you commit zina, and you ask Allah for forgiveness, Allah will forgive. But this is such a sin for which there's no tawbah, but they didn't know. They didn't know. Me and you, we don't know. We are just running around praying salah. So this is a gathering of islah, rectification. Listen carefully to what I'm saying. We need to improve ourselves. All of us, say subhanallah. All of us have to improve ourselves. Yes? I'm not telling you stories or tales or folk tales. Just for this reason that I am trying to make my grave better, say subhanallah. So you have committed that sin for which there's no tawbah. And, oh Allah, what is that sin that I've committed that we've done? I've not murdered, stolen anything. I haven't done zina. We've not done a sin like this. What have we done? What mistake have we committed? Rasulullah said, you've done that sin that both of you were coming. And both of you, you got together. And regarding another individual, third party, you did ghibat. You backbited against that person. And this season, mashallah, today is very delicious food today for the Muslims to backbite. It's a delicacy. Pick up the phone and backbite 10 times on the phone. Don't talk about yourself. You want to talk about other people. And we have more fikr for about strangers and other people. Pick up the phone. Oh, what's his hal? He did this and she did this. Oh, he's zaleel, a cursed person, wretched person. Not talking about our betterment. Why did you phone that person to talk about these things? Why did he divorce that person? Oh, she's a stupid woman, and ask for forgiveness. Women folk, mostly, they do this action. They make the food, they're free at home, and then that's the end of story. After that, oh, that husband and his wife ran away, and his son became this, and his daughter did this, and she did this. Why? Tahajjud, we look at tahajjud, the noor of tahajjud in the mirror. Yeah, and the mirror speaks the truth. So where's your salah gone? That salah about which in the salah that they prayed in the company of the Prophet, he said, no salah, it's gone. Devoid of salah. Go. So in reality, amal, more than amal, practicing the deeds, you need to protect and preserve the deeds. La tabtulu amwalukum. Let's give him the tawfiq of a great, that there's no greater ni'mah that Allah gives to a believer after iman is amal. Allah says, I've taken you to the heights of amal. That do you know the thawab of one salah in the akhirah? One, tahajjud, what are the rewards of tahajjud? Yeah? Recitation of the Quran, so many great rewards Allah Ta'ala will give to that person. Where have they gone? Why? Because you've done ghibat, backbiting, and they've gone to waste. So the tongue, it makes a person commit big sins, slander. Slander. It's worse than backbiting. Backbiting is there, and backbiting occurs. For example, if there's a defect in a person and you mention it behind his back, and if he heard it, he would dislike it. And the other sin on top of that, worse than that, which that person hasn't got that defect or he hasn't done something, you say he's done that, you've got no proof, then that's even worse than the sin of backbiting. For example, a person, he says, I'm pious. And every year I go to here, I do this gathering, and I take the hajjis. To Baytul Maqdis we go on tours. Alhamdulillah, very good actions. Great wealth you've got to your name. And Allah Ta'ala's given you the rewards of this wealth, of these deeds. But have you put a lock and a security on your deeds? Have you protected your deeds? Say subhanallah. Today we have to learn this point. So I go in a sequence and I'll repeat again so you can understand. The greatest, most valuable thing is after iman is our amal, our deeds. And what's the biggest responsibility after you have iman is to protect your amal. Just like you have money and you want to protect your money, safeguard it. Because you don't want it to fall out of your pocket. Obviously you will waste it. You will waste the deeds, you will get nothing in the hereafter. So you have to have a hisab of your deeds. So what do we need to do is to protect and safeguard our amal. Protect our salah. Protect your tilawat of Quran. Will you do this, brothers? How will you do it? Ask a friend of Allah, go to the company of a sheikh. Ask him, pick up their shoes, serve them. This is what we used to go and learn. This is what we used to learn in the sohbat. Yes, one with a black beard and by visiting houses from here to Pakistan, Pakistan to here to Pakistan, what else did I go to learn? My beard became white after that concern. Say subhanAllah. What else did we go to learn from him? Did I go used to go to Hazrat to get taweez or do dua for me? No. We used to revisit to go and learn these things from the wali of Allah. And the person who goes with this niyyah will never return empty-handed. If he goes to earn the dunya, he'll get nothing. Even if he goes and he sits down to next to Hazrat Abdul Qadir Jilani and embraces and hugs him, he won't get nothing if he's gone with the intention of dunya. That to give and to take is based on the niyyah of that individual, that student. Abu Jahl's niyyah was spoiled, he attained nothing. Abu Bakr Siddiq's niyyah was correct, he became Siddiq Akbar. Look at the difference. Look at the difference. No? Is it not? So what we need to see and determine is that how do we protect our deeds? Such a great asset are deeds that, and if a person commits a sin worse than sin, another hadith I'll explain so that we have that clarity. Yes? The narrator is in Bayhaqi, this hadith, narrated by Hazrat... It's not coming to my mind. Hazrat Anas radiallahu anhu, I think, is narrated this hadith in Bayhaqi that Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stated this point that zina, adultery, that backbiting is worse than zina. Backbiting is worse, more extreme than zina, because zina is forgiven through tawbah, but backbiting is not forgiven until that person himself who you backbited against doesn't forgive you. What a big punishment. So either you go to that individual and ask for forgiveness, or going to Jahannam, and Allah is not in between. So what a big punishment in the dunya Allah has given that person that you have backbited against. That what you have to do, you will go into Jahannam and you don't want to go to hell, and you have learned to go to that person with what face? You will say, I backbited against you. He'll say, come close, and he'll smack you. That you are disrespectful. That how can you dare to backbite against me? So what will you do? How will you go and express yourself to that person and own up to that person? But look at the justice of Allah Ta'ala's deen. So from here we have to see that due to backbiting, what is the big question? How many people have done backbiting? Astaghfirullah. So many people are involved in backbiting that in their faces people say they're pious and they praise them. Oh, he's very pious, he's an abid and he's a worshipper, but on the back, he's backbiting. How will you go to that person's face and say, a backbiting? Because if he doesn't forgive you, then Jahannam is there waiting. Jahannam is waiting. No chance for success, no sadaqah, no tawbah. Nothing will compensate for that backbiting. MashaAllah. Today in this day and age, how many people will get that punishment? How dangerous a situation we're in. So is there any escape from this sin? Tell me, what should we do? How does a person go? With what face does he go and own up and ask for the apology? So what happened in the hereafter? What will be this bad situation? All the salah, hajj, the worship, amal, Allah will put them in a line. And I will say, oh, give them away now. Allah will say, I'm not happy with him. The other person will say, give me his deeds, I'm not happy. He will be going to Jannah, the person you backbited against, and that person will be going into Jahannam, the person who backbited. Look at the situation. So today, we need to think about this, ponder over this, that if today we lock our tongues, say subhanAllah, if we lock and secure our tongues, then so many sins, we'll be safe from the sins. One example I give of backbiting on the tongue, because the tongue makes a person do many things. That nowadays the situation is such that in every house, without before speaking, people swear, mother swear, sister swear, daughter, father, sons, all sat there. And if he wants to ask for something from a child, a glass of water first, he'll swear, oh, you this and that, go and get the water. He'll swear first. So this is a style nowadays that I've seen in the society. This young child, oh, he'll do nothing, he'll say, and he'll say the word, he'll actually say that, the child. What a bad word. In anger, he'll say this word, excrement. This is how we are using our tongues today. And in replacement of that, if you say, subhanAllah, what a big thing happens. Immediately, the tree is rooted for you in paradise. Immediately. This is tarbiyah. Tarbiyah brings about this. Tarbiyah teaches us this. Yes? So a person, he's asking for something, he's swearing at the children, your mother's this, your father's this, your sister's this. Go and do this first. I told you, it's a routine. You call your wife, swear at her first. Calling your daughter, swearing at them and calling them, telling them to do things. Yes, I'm very happy without the hajjud and the mark of prostration of us. This is shaitan. We're making masjids, giving charity. And we're chaudhris. But inside, that person's finished. Why? Because shaitan has stolen. He thinks he's got iman, but I won't leave him. He says, even though he's got belief, I won't let him do the deeds or preserve deeds. I'll take him to Jahannam. Allah Ta'ala is telling us the solution. If today we secure our tongues, lock our tongues, then we will be reformed inside. Do you understand what I'm saying? Everybody understand what I'm saying? So now let's see, how can we secure our tongues? Where do we learn from? Let's go to the court of the Holy Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Only he can tell us straightforward. Nobody else can teach us. He will tell us that how do you secure and safeguard the tongue? When the tongue is safeguarded, then imagine how many sins you'll be saved from. Then Allah's rahmah and grace and mercy will leave it to him. And all the previous sins we've done, that Allah somehow compensate for us, give us a tariqah, that the mistakes we've made, the ghibah, the backbiting. Then the tariqahs come when you go to the wali Allah. He'll give you the techniques and the methodology to be saved. They'll give you some formula, some way out. Yes, one tariqah, they have very great tariqah. That tahajjud, they get up in the night, they cry for their murids. That Allah forgive him, Allah forgive this person, forgive this person. Allah says, go, I've forgiven you. I've forgiven them. Subhanallah, what a great tariqah. Yes, so have some friendship with a friend of Allah. Have some friendship with a friend of Allah. Ijtama is coming, our ijtama is coming. Remember this. Why have we established this ijtama? To please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why we're doing the ijtama to please Allah. For this reason, because Allah is happy when His beloved servants are mentioned. When they're mentioned. Yes, when you read their stories in the kitabs. And Allah is very happy and pleased. I'm not saying this. Our pious predecessors of the deen are telling us this. That whenever individual reads the stories or shares the stories in the kitabs about the walis of Allah, the pious predecessors, Allah is extremely happy at that time. Allah loves His servants who do this action. Remember the pious predecessors in the Quran, that I love that person. And he loves me. Those people love me. Say Subhanallah. So this is a great thing, the ijtama, the meaning of the ijtama. One meaning of it is this also, that we will remember and remind ourselves and repeat the events of our pious predecessors. Allah has given us a connection with them. And if we are hypocrites on this, and if we don't try for this, when Allah Ta'ala has given us such a great honor, the people of Bolton, that we are the hosts and the people of the world are the guests, our guests. What a great honor Allah has given to us, that with our hands we'll give the food to the guests, with our hands we'll give the water to the guests, with our hands we'll give them a place to sit down. That, subhanAllah, is there no other person in the world Allah Ta'ala would give this duty to? Is there no one else? And the people come from London, Glasgow, in the cold, they'll sit down hungry, and they'll come to see me. You think, no, they're coming due to the love of Allah. They're traveling. They'll go, let's go to the gathering and listen to the stories, the walis of Allah is written about these people. Definitely there'll be love of Allah there in the gathering. But those people, subhanAllah, these are the points and things that we learn in the heart. Those who understand the message of the walis of Allah, then Allah Ta'ala gives them forgiveness and accepts them. Otherwise, what need is there for us to have ijtama, have a big gathering? But this is a beautiful, unique gathering. There's nothing in there. Nothing in there. Just one unique point, that we remember the pious predecessors during the gathering. We'll be assembled, gathered, we'll do the action that they taught us to do. Yes, and we'll do isal for them. Ithal thawab. We'll ask Allah Ta'ala to give that reward to them. Why? Because so that Allah Ta'ala can become happy. That's the source. Yes, that's the wasila Allah Ta'ala has given to us. A means to reach to the love of Allah. The walis of Allah have taught us this. And if we try to make shortcuts and we're munafiks in this, Allah Ta'ala makes us His guests in His gathering. We run away, do U-turns. Tell me, is this a style? Is this a right way to be grateful? Yes, is this some luggage of forgiveness? There's no one more ungrateful than this. So this lock, how do we apply the lock to the tongue? And this is what we go to learn from the company of the Wali's Wallah. So where do we learn? Let's go to the court of Rasulullah and we ask that, what is the meaning of this? That how do we safeguard our tongue so that we can be saved? So that we can be forgiven? Otherwise it's very hard. Because our salah, they'll evaporate in the air. They're wasted. Wasted regularly. So hadith I will share with you, one hadith. There are two narrators of this hadith, Hazrat Abu Sayyid Khudri radiallahu anhu and Hazrat Jabir radiallahu anhu, great top class sahaba, both of them. And this hadith is narrated in Bayhaqi. And they said that we heard ourselves from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What did we hear? That Abu Dhar Ghaffari radiallahu anhu, another, he was a Sufi sahabi. MashaAllah, he had a unique characteristic and style. Hazrat Abu Dhar Ghaffari radiallahu anhu, he was like a Sufi sahabi. And he was given nasiha. And we realized that this point is going to the Sufis, MashaAllah. This point, MashaAllah. So this point and this learning is coming via the Sufis, the cure. So they said, Abu Dhar, he is addressing them to the two sahaba listening. And the Prophet said, Abu Dhar, shall I tell you such a thing today? This was the style of giving a ni'mah to somebody, to give somebody a valuable teaching. So Rasulullah said, oh, Abu Dhar, he is addressing Abu Dhar directly. Obviously, this was his expertise and speciality. So Rasulullah said, shall I not tell you such a thing? And the other two sahaba were listening. And how did he prescribe it? He said, I swear by Allah in whose hands is my life. Imagine the style, the weight, the importance, how valuable this must be. So Rasulullah is telling his beloved sahaba, his companions, I swear by Allah in whose hands is my life. Imagine how valuable. He said that better than this, in the hands of the makhluk, the creation, there's no greater thing or asset in the hands of the creation of Allah than this. Rasulullah is swearing by Allah that there's nothing better than this in the possession of the creation of Allah. There's no greater habit than this. There's no greater quality than this that the human being possesses. So they suddenly were alert, and those who were listening from behind, they said, Ya Rasul, some of my mother and father be sacrificed with such love. You are addressing me and giving me this good news. Please bestow it. Give it to us. Gift it to us. This learning. What is this formula? That a human being cannot be have a greater possession than this that you are giving to your slaves, to your ghulams. Rasulullah said, silence. Silence is the greatest thing in a person can possess, an asset. This is a hadith in Bayhaqi. You can read it yourself. So the Sufi individuals can understand this properly. Say Subhanallah. The Sufi majlis gathering, and I'm sharing this hadith with you in this gathering. So we say, what does this mean? Silence. But I'll explain to you. So this hadith, mashallah, made me enjoy myself. I was millions of times grateful. Allah, what a great learning you've given to us. And this, you will not get this learning from anywhere else. You won't get this cure from anywhere else. You'll get this in the Naqshbandi silsila. The Naqshbandi order will teach you this quality. You can go everywhere else, but the Naqshbandis will teach you this. Why? Because this is the characteristic of Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radhiyallahu anhu. Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radhiyallahu anhu, subhanallah, and this a story that's coming to my mind. And then through this we'll have the nisbat, the company. And the Sahabi Hazrat, there was a companion who narrates, he said that from Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu, I saw once, this is hadith is also in Muwatta Imam Malik, I'm not a great scholar, I'm just a minor person, and I sat in the service on the shoes of the walis, well, I remember this hadith. So he said, this sahabi, that Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu, may Allah be pleased with him, once he went to meet Abu Bakr Siddiq. Abu Bakr said, he saw a unique scene. One companion is telling another companion, that once Umar radiallahu anhu went to see Hazrat Umar went to see Abu Bakr Siddiq, and Abu Bakr Siddiq took his tongue and he was pulling it and he was crying. And Umar radiallahu anhu was afraid at the time. He became distressed. That, what are you doing? What are you doing? Allah, may Allah forgive you. Don't do this. Don't do this. He had love for him. He said, what are you doing? Don't do this action. He said, no, Umar, leave me. Leave me. This is that thing, the organ, the tongue, that will take a person to the banks of destruction. Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, great sahabi, imagine his status. And so much caution, and he'd heard himself from the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So what's the cure, the formula? Sufis, they have this cure. And you'll get the right teaching from the Naqshbandi Shaykh. What's that cure? Silence. Silence. Tongue, most of all, the greatest lock for the tongue is silence. Otherwise, the tongue cannot be saved from the sins. When you observe silence, put the lock of silence on the tongue, all your sins will be locked up. The person, the highest rank and will be that person who is most silent in the world. And silence, you cannot make the tongue silent on its own. There's so much shahwat and passion and desires that make you speak. I told you, isn't it, how much a person talks. And it's not jais to speak with shaitan. He makes you use the tongue and he makes you quarrel, dispute. You're saying something to another person, he makes you say something else to another. You want to make a person understand something, point A, but he puts point B into that person's mind. You're saying something else, but shaitan instills something else into the mind of that person. So the greatest cure is silence. Silence. Observe silence. And what can make you silent or more silent? What can make you silent? Dhikrullah can make you silent. There's no other way to break this issue. There's only wahid, one action that can make you observe silence. And what is action? Say it loudly. Dhikrullah. This is the yearly majlis we're going to have soon, the annual majlis. To Hazrat Sheikh Ali Murtaza, Qudsisira, Rahmatul Alay, that he was such a silent person. I saw in my life such a silent person, like my Sheikh, I never seen in my life and never will I again. He had the color and the quality like the Sahaba, the style like the Sahaba. In other words, I would stay sometimes with Hazrat for a month or two or weeks on end. I stayed with Hazrat in Makkah and Medina. Always I stayed with him during the night, during the day. And you'll be amazed and shocked to understand and hear. You'll be amazed that I can count in my whole life maybe a few words I will have discussed with my Sheikh. Yes, never did Hazrat Saab's tongue move unnecessarily. Sat in the Kaaba all day long silent. Never would you hear anything from Hazrat. You could go there, nothing. You'd go there, you'd stay there, and that, for example, maybe just a few words, you say that, how can I serve you, how can I help you, and subhanAllah, nothing at all, no words, discussion, no lengthy discussion. I'm telling you the right point. For 2 weeks I'd go, no discussion, go, assalamu alaikum, and at the end, walaikum salam, I'm going, Hazrat, wa alaikum assalam. That was how he was as an individual, as a personality. Why? So tell me, the highest ranks for those who will have observed silence. What was the cure? Always maraqib. That's the solution. That for hours they would be maraqibah. 4 hours on end, maraqibah would run. Say, you know, we do maraqibah. 4 hours they'd sit down and do maraqibah. Yes, Hazrat would always be in maraqibah. The sessions of maraqibah, 4 hours on end. What's the reason? Because in the dhikr of Allah, Allah ta'ala, aladina tatmaina qulubihim bi dhikrullah. Bi dhikrillah. That wahid is one thing. Yes, to be mutmain, content, gives contentment. That it makes you independent from everything else. What is that? Dhikrullah. Yes, if you take hold of dhikrullah, subhanallah, he was a Naqshbandi Sikr. What does Naqshbandi Sikr do? A person doesn't do dhikr from the tongue. Say subhanallah. No, not huha, we don't do this style of dhikr. We are doing dhikr, close the eyes, and immerse the heart in the dhikr of Allah. The more you're detached from the dunya, the higher maqam you'll attain. This is a G point I've just said to you. So if the person who needs to understand, he will understand that the highest maqam, la. Yes, illa comes after. First you have to do nafi. Everything you have to be detached. Then you will see the ibadah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Say subhanallah. Yes, I've said a great point. If there's somebody who understands, he'll understand what I'm saying. So la, the level, first you have to get to that point, the highest manzil, la. And nothing else. Yes? Kullu man alayha fan, wa yabaqa, Allah says after that. In the Quranic verse, ya baqi anta baqi. The Allah, you are everlasting, nothing else is there. La. So when a person goes into maraqabah, then he gets to the maqam of la, silent. He doesn't know anything else. The more you are immersed in maraqabah, then the higher the manzil, the closer you'll get to the destination. You sat in maraqabah, and talk about maraqabah, the Naqshbandi individual. When we say do maraqabah, silence, close the eyes, concentrate, focus on the heart, Allah, Allah. Then after that, that person, subhanAllah, he will understand and realize the maqam he's attained. So everything he's independent from in the world when he's doing maraqabah. Dhikr of Allah in the heart. So this is the dhikr you need to learn, brothers. This is dhikr. Yes, we just close our eyes, we're counting 3 plus 1, 4. How many tasbih has to give? 5. Today, okay, I'll just do 4 instead. Subhanallah. La. Get to La, then illallah will come. My brothers. So this is, my brothers, this is something we need to understand, that how we need to lock our tongues, and what is the lock of the tongue? Dhikrullah. And which store will you buy this lock from? A Naqshbandi store you will get this lock from. Silence. So you have desire, passion, then go to the company of a Naqshbandi. And there's no noise, clamor, there, fame. Just close the eyes and immersed. And that's maraqaba. No josh, no passion, no noise, no high volume, no fame, no showing off, nothing. You're silent, he's silent, and the dunya is silent. And we don't know how many are there or who's come, etc. So people of wisdom and understanding, this is a great learning. Yes, and your akhirah will be made hereafter. Look, everything is based on silence. Death is silent, grave is silent. Silence upon silence will come in the whole phases in the journey after that. So why not take the habit of silence now in this world whilst we're living? Yes, and sins won't be committed. Sins, all due to the tongue. If you put the lock, la ilaha illallah, it will, the nur of Allah, the light of the deen will come to your heart, and your tongue won't be busy in wasteful talk. It will be locked, secured. This is the lock for the tongue, silence and maraqabat. For this reason, Naqshbandi silsila, the Naqshbandi order, whether if a woman, if the sheikh gives a dhikr to the lady, even that, she's doing umraqba in the men folk and the women folk, there's a difference in dhikr. A woman, when I'm giving the reply to many women ask me this, from outside, from here, etc., that many men, you get the spark lessons, where's our lessons? They ask questions. Some mashaykh, they have done some actions, and this is not the tariqah of the Naqshbandi, that they give the dhikr in the heart, etc. No. So I said, where did you get this from this sheikh? He gave this to me. And they, for example, they sat them down and started muraqabat in front of them, and the situation is spoilt. So the women folk, their style of dhikr is different. The man is hard. The man is solid, firm, and he's like a rock inside. But the women folk, they're tender, they're soft. And Allah Ta'ala says for the women, their amal, for example, their body, their characteristics, their qualities are different. And the men are different. The woman, she gives birth to a child, she gives milk. Can you give birth to a child? Can you give milk? No, Allah Ta'ala has put such a plant inside them that their blood is transformed to milk. Say subhanAllah. Allah has given different qualities. Yes, the mother wasn't there then. How would you have attained the milk and drank the milk? What would you have drank? So different qualities, different characteristics. So they have lataif, but Allah Ta'ala has put the great mercy. And this is the secret of the Naqshbandi silsila. That when you give the first latifa qalb, then after that, the different latayat, the different lessons are given. But for the women folk, it's a little bit different variable, that when the latifa qalb, they get maraqba, then all their latifas, they become alive. All their lessons become alive. All the latayat, they start, and they reach to their destination. Shortcut, so they'll be happy after listening to what I'm saying. So don't worry, don't be concerned. You have to do other actions. Allah has made it easy for you. Naqshbandi Shaykh, he wants ease for you, simplicity for you, and he won't make you do lengthy recitations, etc. Yes, but we don't understand these points today. We seek for more. So what I'm trying to say is that the tongue, the greatest lock in security, is the dhikr of Allah. If we don't do dhikrullah, then remember, we have no safeguarding over our deeds, and shaitan will steal our deeds, and ghibat, backbiting, lying, and fraud. You name it, all the sins, list them. If you make a list of the sins, you'll be amazed. And they all are related to the tongue. Go find a Naqshbandi sheikh, sit in his company. He should be a proper sheikh. That when you see the teacher, the sheikh, who do you remember? Say loudly, Allah. That's the sign. Yes. You sit in his company, learn dhikr, and whatever he says, then do that. Not this, you go there and you then do what you want after that. Oh no, this is too hard, I can't do this. No, whatever he says, instructs, and don't compete. You've given this to that person, this to that person. Every patient is different. Every patient is different. What he gives to you, pay attention to what you've got, that's it. That what is my situation, my relationship. So this is the working hard for the hereafter. I'm taking the real effort for the hereafter. Salah, coming to Salah is easy. Coming to the Quran is easy. Going to Hajj is easy. Doing Umrah is easy. All of these things are very easy, doing these things, going. It's not hard, because this is our iman. And you can do this. But, subhanAllah, to protect and safeguard and take these things to Jannah is the hard thing. That's why you are need for a guide. For a guide. Whatever you're doing, make sure you take those amal with you to thereafter. May the amal go with you. That's where the true enjoyment is. Otherwise, if you go and the deeds are left behind, then what will you take with you? Yes, you will have no amal deeds. What will you show? So our going, they must go with us. They must accompany us. For that reason, we have to do these actions. To do the things is easy. To protect them is hard. Do you not understand what I'm saying? Yes. So for protection, you need to go to the company of a sheikh. And with effort and aqidah and intention and belief. And you need to do this. Otherwise, remember what I'm saying, I'm telling you the truth here, the correct. Otherwise, that person will be zero beyond zero. It doesn't matter how many amal he does, no matter what maqam he thinks he's got. Because riya, showing off pretense, is a very bad action. Riya immediately burns off all the deeds. Tell me. Maqam, yes, a high maqam, a person works hard all life long, he learns things, does things. What does shaitan do? Puts pretense and showing of haughtiness into that person. All his deeds go to waste. And he says, I'm pious, I do this, people in the world praise me, they think I'm a big shot Muslim, they run after me, they like me. Shaitan, he burns away all his deeds. Burns away all his deeds. So who will protect our deeds? What will? Go to the company of Wali Allah and just do the way he prescribes to you. If you make a fuss there, you'll get upset and run away from him. Then consider the shaitan has controlled you, and then leave it to Allah. And then there's no way to be saved after that. The rest, don't just be satisfied on the deeds that Allah has given to you, but practice them, protect them. The more the great the ni'mah of the deed Allah has given to you, the greater security and safeguarding we need. May Allah Ta'ala give us all the tawfiq. Ameen. Recite the rule.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Alhamdulillah. Rabbil alameen. As-salatu was-salamu ala Sayyidina al-Mursaleen. Shafi'i al-Muslimin. Tahawwa yasina al-Habib al-Habib. Allahumma khil ala azanukuna wa zulukuna. Nasla ala wa jadala. Khatwa ala abad ala kulla zalim. اللهم اغفر لنا ما قدمت وما أخرت وما أسررت وما أنت اللهم تقول وأنت المقدم وأنت المؤخر ولا إله إلا أنت يا حي يا قيوم برحمتك نستغيث ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكن من الخاسرين يا مقرب القلوب ثبت قلبي على دينك ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب اللهم صدقنا الإيمان وأمتنا الإيمان وأحشرنا يوم القيامة مع الإيمان اللهم إنا نسألك حسن الخاتمة اللهم إنا نسألك حسن الخاتمة اللهم إنا نسألك حسن الخاتمة اللهم بارك لنا في الموت فيما بعد الموت اللهم إنا على غفلات الموت وسكرات الموت اللهم إنا على غفلات الموت وسكرات الموت اللهم حفظنا اللهم حفظنا حسابا يسيرا اللهم حفظنا حسابا يسيرا اللهم أعنا على ذكرك وشكرك وحسن عبادتك يا الله ہم سب کی مغفرت فرما دے ہمارے گناہوں کو معاف فرما دے ہماری خطاؤں کو معاف فرما دے یا اللہ تو ہم سے راضی ہو جا ہماری عبادات کو قبول فرما دے یا اللہ تو ہم سے راضی ہو جا یا اللہ تو ہم سے راضی ہو جا اے میرے مولا اے میرے مولا اپنے فضل و کرم سے میرے مولا ہماری خطاؤں کو ہمارا گناہوں کو معاف فرما دے دانشتہ غیر دانشتہ جو ہم سے گناہوں میں معاف فرما دے اے میرے مولا تو رحم کرنے کو پسند کرتا ہے معاف کرنے کو پسند کرتا ہے اے میرے مولا تو ہمیں معاف فرما دے اے میرے مولا ہمارے مالوں کو شفا نصیب فرما یا اللہ جن عورتوں نے مردوں نے ہم سے دعاؤں کے لیے کہا ہے میرے مولا پریشانی کے لیے مصیبتوں کے لیے بیماری کے لیے اور اپنے حالات کے لیے میرے اپنے یا اللہ ان کے حق میں تمام دعاؤں کو قبول فرما اس مجلس نورانی مجلس کے صدقے سے میرے مولا تمام کی دعاؤں کو قبول فرما یا اللہ بیماروں کو شفا نصیب فرما اے میرے مولا ہمیں ذکر و فکر کی توفیق نصیب فرما وصلی اللہ تعالیٰ علی خیر خلقہ محمد وآلہ وصحبہ اجمعین بسمتک یا ارحم الراحمین سبحان ربک رب العزت عما یصفون والسلام علی المرسلین والحمد للہ رب العالمین